Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Well, welcome to Industrial Talk. Thank you very much for joining the number one industrial-related podcast in the universe that celebrates industry professionals all around the world. Because you're bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you solve problems, you're changing my lives, you're changing lives of other people, and you're changing the world. Why not celebrate you? We are also broadcasting from the Digital Manufacturing Symposium, right here, Chicago. Great venue. Incredible collection of, I want to say, professionals that want to solve problems for you. Yeah, they're dedicated to solving your problems, and they're willing to collaborate. Yeah, they're great. They're trailblazers. All right, in the hot seat, we have a gentleman by the name of John Harrington. Hi-Bite is the company. Look at him. He's the I'm looking at his business card. He's the co-founder and chief product officer. Oh. See, he's a big wig. He's a big cheese. All right, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Huh? No complaints. None whatsoever. You wouldn't listen to me if I was complaining. Would you? Would you listen to me?
We'd love it. We'd love it any way it comes.
Any way the complaining comes, we love it.
That's quality content, that's what we want.
Quality human content.
That's right.
None of this fluffy stuff. No, why would you?
Raw.
All right. You having a good conference?
It's been a great day.
It's been pretty cool.
Yeah.
What a buzz. A
lot of exciting discussions.
See, I'm sort of digging it. I don't know why. I'm digging it. I was in a big conference, and then this one's sort of more boutique-ish.
It is. It's much more, if I could use the term, intimate. Because you can really talk with people. You can have conversations.
Yes.
You can understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's not, I was talking to someone today. I said, I've been in a conference of 40,000 people and talked with fewer people than this conference today. Because people want to talk. They want to learn.
See, that's pretty cool. That's a great testament. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a must. All right, before we get into the topic, before we have that conversation, give us a little background on who you are.
So John Harrington, I'm the chief product officer and one of the co-founders of Hi-Bite. I've been in the manufacturing and manufacturing technology industry my entire career. First 10 years, I was working in software companies. They were in the CAD and procurement space, selling into manufacturing. Then I got in and spent 5 years at a manufacturer, so really sat in the seat and felt it. And then in the last 15 years, I've been back in software and technology for manufacturing companies.
Well, clearly you're smarter than I am.
I wouldn't go there.
Oh, yes, I would. You got more hair than I do. I'll go there, too.
I do have that.
Not much of a high bar right there. All right, so Hi-Bite, B-Y-T-E.
B-Y-T-E, yes. Yeah,
okay. What is the problem you're addressing here?
We are addressing data, the data problem. Data is the challenge. It's great. I did a talk at the show at about 2:30 in the afternoon, and every talk before me talked about the challenges. How do we get data? How do we get the right data? Yeah. How do we put the right data in the right person's hands? And then I came in and started talking about how you do it.
There you go.
And that's what Hi-Bite's looking to do.
It's interesting because you brought up a good point. It's one thing to collect data. I think we can all collect data. I can collect data. Collect data all the time.
We can.
It is how do you take that data and I didn't think through that enough where I was saying, well, who gets the data? Where does it go?
Right.
All of that. That's pretty important.
What problem are we looking to solve? And that's where it has to start. It has to start with what is the problem? Is the problem a quality problem? We're trying to improve quality on the line. Or is the problem an asset uptime problem? We need to do some predictive asset maintenance so that we can improve our uptime of an asset so that the line doesn't stop. Or is the problem a traceability problem? If we're not collecting data, then we might as well scrap all of the parts because it's a regulated approach. It's all about understanding the problem and then creating solutions to deliver the data to solve that problem.
So with that, are we talking about an algorithm? Are we talking about where does HiBite fit into that whole, you know, model?
Yep. No, that's a great question. And model's a great term, too. And I'll get to that. But
you're welcome.
You're setting me up, Scott.
You're setting me up for success.
So we call it industrial data ops, which is the preparation, curation, and delivery of data for analytics, visualization, for whatever the use case is. So it's not so much the analytic. It's everything that needs to happen before the analytic gets the data, right? And it's how do we get the data from wherever it is. And often it's not just, well, there's a PLC on the factory floor, right. There's a sensor. I say to people, you know, predictive maintenance 1.0 was about putting a vibration sensor on a motor, and when the vibration sensor went too high, we knew that there was a problem. Predictive maintenance 2.0 was about combining the sensor information with what was going on in the line at that time,
yeah.
So that if it goes high, but it's supposed to go high, then we know it's a good thing. But if it goes high and it's supposed to be idle, then we know it's a bad thing. Right. Predictive maintenance 3.0 is about combining that with who is the customer that we're producing this product for, what product are we producing, what asset are we producing it on, and what's the asset history, the service history of that, combining all that data together so that we can really start driving knowledge.
Okay, so we've got these devices out there, whatever they might be.
Right.
Got it. They're out here. Pump.
We got a motor and a pump.
Pump, a loader,
yep.
Whatever.
Yep.
And what you're facilitating is I'm collecting data. Do you get rid of some of the bad data? Does it have, it's like, okay, we want this data. We don't want that data. Let's get and be able to manage the volume, because it could be a data tsunami, and it's
tsunami,
massive.
Yeah, tsunami is a great word. Or it's data noise.
Data noise.
It's just data noise. It's too much. And what we need is, if we're doing predictive asset maintenance on this pump, we want to pull some vibration sensor that we just put on there. It's a wireless sensor that's publishing back over some other network. We want to pull the industrial automation data. We want to pull some information out of the asset maintenance system, but we need to know that the pump that we're monitoring is, you know, we need to reference that in the asset maintenance system. We want to pull from the SAP system what order we're working on while we're producing all this. And we want to pull all that data together into a package, a payload, right? So in real time, we can pull data from different systems, package it together, and then put it up wherever you want it. The big two big things that people are talking about today are moving data to the cloud.
Yeah, absolutely.
So putting it in Azure, AWS, in a data lake.
Yeah.
The other thing is this concept of a unified namespace.
Oh.
Have you heard about the unified namespace?
No. I want to now.
Unified namespace. A lot of people are deploying a protocol called MQTT, an MQTT broker on-premise, and they're publishing data into it. And they're organizing that data based on the ISA 95 specification. So you have some site-level data, like maybe profitability. And then you have some area-level data, like what's our schedule. And then you have line-level data, like what's the OEE. And then you've got work cell level data, like what's some traceability information on the parts being produced, and then you've got the asset, and we have asset level data. So it's creating this definition of all the different types of data and then placing it in there and then allowing the people in your company to be able to access that by subscribing to the data, so that it really democratizes data within a factory environment or within a corporation.
So the picture that's in my humble, feeble mind is I'll use it, correct me if I'm wrong, aggregate the data's from various legacy systems, new systems. There's just tons of systems out there collecting data,
right,
and then be able to pull it into a central location, organize it in a way that makes sense.
Structure it for use cases. Potentially transform it. Sometimes you need to run some algorithms on it. Simple algorithms. We're not talking analytics yet. This is to deliver the data the analytic. Maybe you need to filter it, or you need to aggregate it for a period of time and then provide like an average or standard deviation. So create those data payloads based on what's going to use it and then publish them into a central location for anyone to get access to.
And then anyone or any systems
within the company securely.
That's right.
Get access to this data.
And then from that, because you've already sort of, for lack of a better term, scrubbed it, cleaned it up, put it in the right
curated
order.
Curated it.
Yep. Curated all of that good stuff, so that whatever systems I have or what I have in place, it's just like grab, go, analyze, do the data analytics, whatever that might be, and then be able to spit out
an answer,
some sort of solution.
And now the key is with manufacturing data, we start out looking at historical to create analytics and whatnot, but a lot of time we're looking at real-time data. So it's streaming. It's not like in the IT world, they often will have transactions, but in the manufacturing world, we have streaming data. Things are changing in real time, and we need to know, some data we may be capturing once a millisecond, other data once a second, and other data once every 10 minutes, or when the batch is complete. So it's critical to understand those differences, and it's very different than the IT environment.
Yeah. So that brings up a question of if I'm collecting data at various rates, can you take the different sources of data with different time requirements and paint a picture within your saying, okay, I this motor to this transformer to this whatever, pull it together and create a different sort of a different picture.
That's the magic.
There it is.
Yes, and what it is it's based off the use case.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you always have to start with what are we trying to solve for? We're trying to, again, quality, asset maintenance, traceability, R&D has some needs for their own system. So you start with the use case, and that often dictates not only the data, but the frequency of the update.
Which then paints a picture that how I'm processing it is that I have a high level of confidence in all of this data coming in. I'm not being distracted by noise.
Right.
I am really, and then it's all being driven by the use case, which is all developed at the beginning. Do you facilitate those conversations? Like, okay, hey, we got it. Let's. What problem are we solving? Okay, I got it. And then you got this source of data, this source of data, this source of data. Let's look at that. And then you come up with that plan of attack. And then you paint. Do you do that?
So we're a software provider, but we usually facilitate the first few conversations along those lines. So helping the customer understand how to think about this, how to structure it, working with them on the first few use cases, and then, that's actually when the magic happens, because that's when they get excited.
Yeah.
Once they start seeing the data flowing and they start solving problems, they get excited, and more and more use cases come up, and they start using the software even more, and it's designed to be highly scalable, because scalability is all this stuff can be done. One use case in simple one device at a time, But when you try to scale that out. You replicate all of the work. The work is a linear scale. And the key is to asset number two should be significantly easier. Asset number three, even easier. And the same data sets should be used. The same analytics should be used if they're like assets. So that's where we really facilitate. That's the benefit of doing this in an application versus just custom hacking together some scripts to jam some code up into Azure and figure it out. Best to structure the data and then deliver it as a payload, and then the analyst can understand exactly what they have and put it to use much faster. So we're saving money. We're saving money in storage. We're saving money in transport. We're saving time. The projects are scaling faster, and they're actually scaling as opposed to a lot of these projects just haven't scaled the way that people had hoped.
No, that's a whole other conversation. I mean, that's that credibility side of what I don't think that there's any debate on the necessity to collect data. It's the how and what's important, and will I be drowning? So once you structure the data, then that data is accessible by OT means, executive means,
line of business, any different department within a corporation that needs access to it.
Yeah, whatever dashboard you could probably say, I like red, green, and yellow.
Right.
Green, good, red, bad, yellow, better look at it, that type of thing. Yeah, I get it. I never really thought about it, but I think that I get it. Because, I've been a part of projects where, we can collect data. Then what? What are you going to do with it? Is it good? And it just sort of implodes on itself because it's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I can't figure it out.
Yep. There's no use case. The other thing that we hear from people is we just want to push all the data up into the cloud, and we'll let them deal with it, right? And they say, in manufacturing, there is no all in data. There are manufacturing plants with millions of data tags, and of course, with the automated equipment, you can collect it as fast as you want, millisecond resolution. So there's no all. It's not like a database with a bunch of transactions where you can literally say, all right, let's just lift and shift a database up into the cloud. It just, you need to define what you want. You need to be specific, and then that's when you get success.
I think it's cool. I do. I'm not easily persuaded. I am. I just lied to you. All right. So listeners out there saying, yes, he's speaking my language. How do they get a hold of you?
www.highbyte.com, or they can email me, john.harrington@highbyte.com, or look me up on LinkedIn.
You're fantastic. Smarter than I am, which is pretty good. Well, that's, I understand. That's a low hurdle. All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. You're going to have all the contact information for John and that incredible company, Highbyte. So fear not. So you have no excuse for not contacting John. All right, we will be right back with another great conversation, so stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, once again, thank you very much for joining Industrial Talk. As you could tell by the noise in the background, we were on site at the Digital Manufacturing Symposium, and that was in Chicago. And it's a great event. You got to put that on your calendar for next year. Absolutely make that happen, because you're able to connect with individuals and companies that are truly committed to this digital transformation of manufacturing. And quite honestly, it's a must. If you want to create a business that is resilient, definitely digitally transform it. All right. And also, thank you to John Harrington and Team Highbyte. That's BYTE. Put that down on your things to do to connect. And if you go out to highbyte.com, you'll find this free guide about data modeling guidebook and its best practice. You need it. You need to be able to navigate these digital transformation waters. It's important, and it starts with insights, and this guidebook is absolutely right there. So anyway, go out to Industrial Talk. Get engaged. Be a part of this expanding ecosystem. We want to collaborate, we want to innovate, and we definitely want to educate, and it starts with you. Thank you very much. So, be bold, be brave, dare greatly, hang out with people like John, and you're going to change the world. Thank you very much for joining once again, and we're going to have another great conversation shortly, so stay tuned.